comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And good evening. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on the planet, that's a guarantee. I'm here because it matters. And you matter as well. Thank you for being here. Don't forget the Halloween party. If you don't have your ticket to the Halloween party yet, be sure you get your ticket to the Halloween party, because if you miss that, you're really going to miss a good time. We've got some great guests lined up, some games, some contests, some great prizes, and it's $5. You know, where else can you do Halloween for $5, right? An hour before the party starts, it's live online on our private TV channel, and but an hour before it starts, scary old-time movies, and then we do the party, and after the party, scary old-time movies for the rest of the night. All for $5. You can't beat it. I talked with Mark Maverick. Mark Maverick is the owner of the radio station out in Los Angeles that carries us, and he's going to be with us as well. And we've already tested the video hookup, and it's working. And so he's going to join us from the Los Angeles area, where he, in fact, will be doing a party as well. And so from that location, at that party, he will join us. And we got some other guests that have signed on and said, yeah, they want to join us for the party as well. K-Files E-Zine. Well, tonight is K-Files E-Zine night, and if you are not subscribed, you're too late. You've been thinking about it. You've been saying, well, one of these days, I guess I better sign up for that. Forget it. Well, at least just for now. Because of all the hack attacks, there are parts of the website I have taken down, and they're being gone through. There, some of you have received a notice. You know, you go to my website and a notice pops up, and it's Google saying that within the last 90 days they found, you know. Okay, well, there's nothing on the website. It's absolutely clean. Once you make that list at Google, they keep you there for 90 days. And so don't worry about going to the website. There's no malware. There's no badware, there's no Trojans or anything like that. And so you can go there. But the K-Files E-Zine. K-Files E-Zine is part, the subscription part, we took that out. It's being gone through, and it will be back. But right now, even if you want to, if you beg me, you can't sign up. You should have done it yesterday or day before yesterday. You can't sign up right now. So you have to be a mushroom at least until Monday. I hate to tell you that, but that's the way it is. You have been consigned to Mushroomville until Monday. Then you can sign up again. And it's free, and you should sign up. And I hope you will. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Oh, you cannot imagine the fun we're having here. As you can tell, we're not on our regular camera. We're on the backup camera. The other camera is working, and the software refuses to read it, although it read it right up till showtime. And then you had no audio. So on top of the hacks, it looks like what I'm going to have to do is take some Drano to this computer and flush it out as well. Oh, it shall be a wondrous weekend. I look forward to it. Not my first time on this dance floor, though. Ah, my. Explorer and television producer Jerry Wills has been on an expedition in Peru for most of October. It's always interesting to hear from Jerry, especially when he is on expedition, and he is. It's indeed a pleasure to welcome Jerry back to the show as he speaks to us tonight live from Peru. Welcome back to the show, Jerry.
Thank you, Kevin. Really enjoy being here, and hello to all your listeners.
Of course, we all knew you were going on this expedition because we played some ads for you that where, you know, anybody that wanted to go, they knew you were going and when you were going and so forth. So we knew you were going, and you've talked to us when you were a guest on the show. You talked to us about some special things that you wanted to look for this time. Kind of bring us up to date. Where have you been? What have you found?
Well, so far we have we've been to a place in northern Peru called Piura. It is a coastal city in the middle of a desert. I forgot the name of the desert, but it's a desert. It's actually one of the largest deserts in Latin America, in South America anyway. And we were there to try to find a tunnel that our son Bryce had been into about 2 years ago. And while he was in there, he had seen a mural on a wall with some ancient writing. So it's taken this long, about 2 years, for us to get everything together and to get back down here and to go to this location, try and get into the tunnel, find out what we can find out about it. It sounded fantastic. And that's what our first stop was. And that lasted about, 10 days.
Did you find the tunnel?
Yes, we did. Unfortunately, when we got to Piura, the church, let me explain, this tunnel was behind a church, and behind the church was an old colonial-style relic of a building. And in the garden of this building, there was this hole that was, had boards covering it, that was thought to be a well by the locals. But some of the people here, at least two of them, knew that it was an entrance to a tunnel system. When we got here, in 2 years' time, they'd started renovation on the church, the old colonial building, shambles of a house. There was no trace of it. They had put up a huge retaining wall of cement, backfilled it with dirt, and built a road over the top of where the old house used to stand. Big renovation project on the church. And as such, the tunnel was completely obliterated, just completely covered over by, 20 foot of dirt.
And this is the only entrance to the tunnel that you knew of?
No, there was actually another entrance, and mm-hmm. That entrance was in the church. But the church, up until the time we got there, kept it a pretty well-sealed secret. And they wouldn't let anyone get into the catacombs to see the tunnels, to do anything with the tunnels. It was pretty well protected by the church. This entrance that was on the outside was another entrance that the only a couple of the locals knew about. We got into the church, and after paying a little bit of money for help with the restoration and a lot of talking, we managed to pull out the video cameras and said, hey, here's the reason why we're here. We spent an awful lot of money and time to get here. We'd like to see these catacombs. So the fellow went up in front of the altar, undid a padlock, and swung open this huge door in the floor of the church. So we put on our Contour HD helmet cam. It's a high-definition helmet cam. And put on the lights, and we went down this this broad staircase. It's more broad than I expected it to be. Went down into the bowels underneath the church. We went down about 20 feet, and once we got down, there was an area, like a tunnel of sorts, a passageway. It was full of bats. And we walked down this tunnel, dodging the bats. We got to a room, the main room in the catacombs. And once we were there, the fellow points out, he says, see, there's no tunnel here. So we said, what happened to it? And so with a little bit of coaxing, he showed us where there was fresh cement on the walls. And he said, well, it's behind these cement walls. There are three tunnels, but they're now cemented over, but I can show you the one that isn't. So we followed him along the corridor, another corridor, and about 20 feet away in the side of this freshly cemented wall was this irregular opening with a lot of dirt. And he says, now here's a tunnel entrance if you want to dig it out. Took a look, and he said that this part of the tunnel collapsed and we weren't able to save it. Well, a bit anticlimactic, but at least we got there to see what we could see, I suppose. It was very disappointing, I can tell you that.
You would think that they would have more care and take more care of something as important as that. Do they have absolutely no knowledge of how important that information is, or do they not care, or is it cemented over because it may represent knowledge and information that church does not want its people to know about?
Well, you know, things down here sometimes just make no sense at all. Not at all. But
Sounds like the USA.
Oh, well, let me tell you, it could be. it's just mind-boggling how numbskull some people can be. They're looking for the bucks, and then once they get the bucks, then suddenly there isn't anything to show you. And that's kind of what happened here. I mean, they showed us where it was all backfilled. Our son Bryce took a look at it, and he says, holy crap, you know, this is totally different. They've changed it, though. This area's gone, and so forth. But the one thing that stands out in my mind is that on this mural, there was a picture of a hooded being. According to Bryce, the only one of us who saw this, and he drew us a picture. I mentioned it on an earlier show when we were talking about this months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this hooded being had the face of a lizard person, scales and the whole bit. He said it had Asian-looking eyes, and in other words, almond-shaped eyes, and it was a lizard-looking human standing in a field of some kind of crop. He didn't know what kind of plants they were. So, above it was writing. The people in the area, we did talk to a few of them, and they did say that there used to be a race of people there long, long time ago, back in the 1400s, I think it was. Now, I don't know how true this story is, so don't put a pin on the map with this story, but I'm just reciting what they told me. They say that there was a group, or a culture of people, let's say, who were living in the desert, underground, and that they were like reptilian people, and they were considered cursed by God. When the church showed up at the fall of the Inca Empire, and of course the Spaniards were taking over left, right, and center, there were missionaries, Franciscans, Jesuits, and so forth, who were combing through Peru and most of Latin America to develop converts. These people, they say, represented the sins of Satan, the offspring of the snake and the human, and they were cursed by God, and they were hunted to extinction and killed. And the only thing left was what we were to be finding in this tunnel and in other tunnels that are in the area. We know there are other tunnels there, but they're not going to show it to us because those tunnels still have a great number of riches, gold and so forth, that was stored there when the Jesuits were kicked out of Peru by the Spaniards and by the Catholic Church. So there were tunnels that were dug for other reasons, not by the lizard people, I suppose. I don't even know that this one was dug by lizard people. You know, I've yet to see this motif, so I don't know what the reality of it is, except for what these people have told us. But Jesuits were being kicked out of Peru. They dug tunnels under their church, and they hid vast amounts of gold and silver and jewels. And those tunnels are still in existence, and the locals periodically go into those tunnels to pull out some of the riches so that they're not abstractly poor and impoverished. So we know the tunnels still exist. We just don't know if there's anything else like what our son saw, if there's anything else in these tunnels. The really interesting thing is that, kind of as an afterthought, perhaps, the fellow that was telling us this perhaps tall tale, maybe it was real, I don't know, but the fellow telling us this tale was saying, well, there are three tunnels, and that's in the church, and it converges down in one, and then the one, there are three passageways, and one passageway goes to Ecuador, the other goes south towards Lima, perhaps to Argentina, and the other one goes east, and it goes into the mountains. We've heard stories like this before about a vast network of tunnels in the Andes, and you know, we've been actively looking for these off and on, and maybe he's telling us the truth, maybe he isn't. It's all anecdotal at this point because we don't have any evidence to support a story like that, although we're still looking and we're still curious to find out more. And the one other thing about this is that it could very well be that they changed their mind when we showed up and they didn't want us to see this at all and expose it to the world. That's also a very real possibility. So they didn't seem very happy about the fact that we were there. So I don't know. I don't know what the truth is, but we certainly made a bold effort to try and find out. And we have documented all this on video. It will be an upcoming episode on Expeditions TV.
You know, Jerry, up here around the Phoenix area, the Native Americans talk about the lizard people.
Right.
And Jeff Woolane has been able to document that the Mayans were up in this part of Arizona on trading missions with the Hohokam. And, you know, I just wonder if the story came up with the Mayans or... Is the story up here independent of that story down there? And maybe, you know, maybe there's no connection, but they still have the story of these lizard people, which would mean then there would be a little bit more credence for the existence of these lizard people.
Well, you know, Kevin, there are similar stories about giants in North America as well as South America. So I would think that if there are stories about lizard people, they represent a culture that has been lost to history, except for the mythology of their existence as it's been passed down from one age to the next. I wouldn't doubt at all if they existed in one place that they would also exist in another. That just seems reasonable to me.
Well, then where that leads to is all tunnels have two ends. Maybe there are some tunnels of the lizard people up here.
Well, that very well could be, and I suspect that that would be the case. But we don't have any information really to nail something down. But as far as the possibility goes, I suspect that that is, you know, I suspect that is the case.
Why this extensive tunnel system going, for instance, from where you are, well, where you were, one going towards Lima, one going towards Ecuador, why all of this underground? Why didn't they just travel out on the surface?
Well, you'd have to see the Andes to understand and appreciate that. Kathy and I spent a week hiking up one side of the mountain and down the other to go about 80 miles up and down, just absolutely arduous. It wasn't a gradual grade, it was hand over fist in some cases.
To go how many miles?
About 85 miles back into the mountains. We had to be flown out by helicopter. We were so far back in there, to get out would have just been, well, insane. It was crazy to have gone in that far, but there was a lost city back there, so we had to. Anyway, I had hurt my hip because a horse fell on top of me and went over a cliff, and so I couldn't walk out. So this was...
Yeah, I remember you telling us about that story. And there was nothing... the horse was not hurt, right?
Oh, it landed on an area just below where I was hanging upside down in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
But the point, Kevin, is that if you can travel through a tunnel and you can go from one side of the mountain to the other and perhaps from one area to another, maybe 10 miles, maybe 50 miles, that's so much easier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, we have to step away for a break, Jerry. We'll be back, folks, right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Jerry Wills, live with us from Peru this evening. Jerry, are you in Lima?
Yes, we're in Lima right now. Kathy and I are here at our friend Peter Schneider's house, who is the owner of the Amazon Rainforest Lodge in Iquitos.
And you're traveling back, I believe, headed back this way starting tomorrow, right?
Actually, no. We had to change our tickets to Monday, so we're leaving here Monday afternoon. Unfortunately, when we arrive back to Los Angeles, there's not another flight, so we're going to have to wait for 7 hours overnight in the airport before we can catch a flight back to Phoenix.
I've done that sort of thing before. You know, the last time I got to visit Thailand and see my family, I had to fly from here to Chicago to catch a flight that was going to Los Angeles. So I flew to Chicago, waited 8 hours, and caught a flight coming right back across Phoenix going to Los Angeles, because there was no flight out of here to Los Angeles. They were all booked up. And so I had that 8-hour wait. And then, of course, when I get back into Thailand, I get to Bangkok, I have to wait 5 hours to catch a flight back up to where I live. So I know about those. Those are not fun. Not fun.
Yeah, it really takes a toll on you, especially if it's that late at night.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe you can catch a Z or two at the airport.
Maybe.
Some people say that when they travel, they just, you know, they can't sleep, they can't rest, they have jet lag. Man, I get on an airplane, and once we're in the air, I go to sleep. And I don't wake up till we're ready to land. And I can roll with it. But I cannot sleep in airports. It just doesn't work. All right, so after you left this place with the tunnel, what next on the expedition did you do?
Well, we caught a bus and went from Piura to a mountain city called Cajamarca. This was about a 10-hour bus ride overnight and through the middle of the night. We arrived there about 35 o'clock the following morning. We left about 7 in the evening. We went to Cajamarca and started mapping out our strategy for the next round of the adventure.
Caja, that means box. Is this a canyon?
It's not a canyon, but it is a valley at 9,200 feet elevation. This is the place where Atahualpa was beheaded by, who was the Spaniard? I forgot his name now. Pizarro. Pizarro beheaded Atahualpa here. This is Atahualpa's princely or kingly place. Mm-hmm. It is where you find these incredible, incredible hot springs, and they're all along this one part of this valley. The water is about 162 degrees, very hot, and there are many, many pools, and they have taken cold water from the springs, and they've added it to some of these pools, so it's actually tolerable. But these hot springs have amazing curative powers, and that's why the Inca king made his home there. When you take a look at what they have, what the Inca were using, listening to the tour guides, you might think that, oh, the Inca were just pretty amazing. Look, they did Machu Picchu, and they did these hot spring baths, carved them into solid stone, and so forth. But actually, the Inca didn't build it. They embellished it to suit their own purposes, but it was actually built tens of thousands of years ago by some unknown culture. Cajamarca is a really quaint little town up in the Andes. It's a pretty neat place.
All right, let's talk about this civilization that was 10,000 years ago that built it. Any clues whatsoever as to who it might have been?
No, actually there aren't. The people that we talked to and asked them about this, they insisted, oh, no, this is Inca. The Inca did all this. But then you find some of the people out in the mountains who say, no, the Incas didn't do this. We don't know who it was, but, you know, they were ancient, ancient people. We spoke with a couple of archaeologists who told us that some of these things are 8,000 B.C. or older. That's about as close as they can get is 8,000 B.C.
You know, every time we have you on the show talking about these amazing things in South America, the thought always passes through my mind several times during the show. You know, there's been so much written about ancient Egypt, there's been so much, so many films, so many archaeology projects and programs dealing with ancient Egypt, and everyone just sort of, when we talk about the ancient world, they think Egypt, Egypt, Egypt. And the fact is, there are things as magnificent in South America, and partially, I guess, because it hasn't been studied and uncovered as thoroughly as Egypt, to me, it's more fascinating and more mysterious. You know, who, like the question, who are these people 10,000 years ago that are building things in South America? Where did they come from? Who are they? And, you know, to me, that's far more mysterious than what's under the paw of the Sphinx.
Well, I'll tell you something, Kevin. when our modern age catches up with what's actually down here in South America, it will be far in excess of what's been found in Egypt. A good example of that is the Lord of Saipan. Most people aren't that familiar with it. It's actually a tomb that was richer in gold and artifacts than King Tut's tomb. There was much, much more gold than King Tut had in his tomb. And just recently, within the past 6 months, they continued excavating the tomb of the Lord of Saipan, went down seven more levels, and they discovered the real tomb of the Lord of Saipan, the original Lord of Saipan's tomb, they're calling it. And it has so much in it that we're not going to know about it for probably another year, because it has so much gold, so much history that's just buried down there. It's absolutely astonishing.
Where is this located, Jerry?
It's located, where is that? Kat, where is Lord of Saipan? Is that Chiclayo?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Chiclayo. Which, that what that is, that's north of Trujillo or south of Piura. It's in the north northwestern part of Peru.
So it would be northwest of Lima then?
Oh yeah, it'd be quite far north of Lima, probably by bus. You're looking at 15 hours.
Okay. What is this, you called him Lord of Saipan?
Yes.
You know, that sounds Chinese or Japanese.
Well, yeah, it does. And I don't know how they came up with the name. I don't have a clue about that. But, you know, this is the same region as you find the race of people that have six fingers that are up in the mountains, not too far, really, from Chanquio. That's the 13 Towers, the Solar Observatory. You find all kinds of really strange stuff. But see, that's the thing. There's so much here that is still undiscovered that when it starts coming to light, you know, if we ever find a third of what's here, it's going to rewrite everything that we know about history. Just about 2 weeks ago, maybe 10 days, we were asked by the fellow, you know, like Hawass in Egypt, how he's like in charge of the antiquities there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fellow in Cajamarca who is in a similar position. About 2 years ago, Japanese started working on this site way up in the mountains of the Andes, and it became way too large for them to do anything with, so the National Institute of Culture got involved, and they took it over. And about 10 days ago, we were asked if Expeditions TV would be the first people to go in there with cameras and document the site and bring the information out to the world. So in March or April, we'll probably be back here and we'll be going up to do that. The importance of this site is that up until the site was found, there were no lost cities, let's say, that were found that were west of the Rio, Rio Mayo, I think. And they found this place, and this place housed 40,000 warriors. So, anyway, they wanted us to come and document it when we come back. But there's just so much here. The incredible thing about Cajamarca, which is our jumping-off point, for example, for that last place I just told you about, is the Cajamarca has mountains of gold. There's so much gold there, it's mind-boggling. The Yanacocha mine, for example, is the most profitable and largest mine in South America. It's a gold mine. There's amazing amounts of gold and just extraordinary secrets in this place. Some of the secrets we were able to capture on tape this last few days that we were there, the things that I just never really expected to find, and things that I'd heard about that didn't seem that astonishing to me at the time, but once I actually saw it, it was mind-blowing.
Give us an example of something like that.
Well, we decided to go to, I have to refer to Kathy for the names of places because I'm talking to you on the radio, so my mind's not into those details.
That's and you're an old guy, too.
The Spires of Rock where we went to?
Cumbamayo.
Cumbamayo is located at the top of a mountain, and we'd heard about the Inca, again, Inca, not really, but the Inca aqueducts. So we decided to go check it out. Well, these Inca aqueducts are tens of thousands of years old, and every so often there's a huge outcropping of rock, and of course they just carved right through solid stone just to maintain the exact attitude, in other words, the flow rate, the water would go down through this aqueduct, carved it into solid stone right across the mountains, right through mountains, in a way that is absolutely mind-boggling. If there was a boulder in the way, they would slice out part of the boulder and slice out underneath the boulder, and it wasn't like they just made a crude waterway passage. They embellished it, they made it beautiful. And then periodically there would be a boulder with part of the side gone, it would be flattened off. And on these flattened off parts, there were these strange hieroglyphs that no one has been able to decipher to this day. No one knows who made this. They don't know when it was made. It's just sort of always been there from what we have heard from everyone that we talked to up in the mountains. We spent some time with the mountain people.
All right. Fascinating stuff. We have to step away for a minute, though, and we'll be back right after this. Think about that tune, huh? You can't see me during the break, but I can see you. You were tapping your feet. I saw you tapping your feet. Yeah. We're talking with Jerry Wills. What'd you think about that song?
Oh, I was tapping my feet, Kevin.
Yeah.
Both of them asynchronously.
All right, you were telling us about Cumbamayo and this incredible architecture of the aqueducts, and there's some hieroglyphs that are inscribed inside these aqueducts, and nobody can read them. Now, let me ask you a question, Jerry. The Inca language, has it been deciphered? Can they read that?
Well, the Inca didn't have a language. They didn't have writing. They used something called the quipu, which is a series of knots in different colored cords. And each one of these cords and the groupings of cords were specific to the region that made them. So there was no writing for the Inca.
Okay, so they obviously are not the people that inscribed these hieroglyphs in these stones.
No, they weren't. And, you know, the really strange thing that I noticed on a few of these was that there seemed to be some similarity to hieroglyphs I've seen of Egyptian writing. It wasn't exact, but it was very close. You know, the extraordinary thing about this is that Kathy and I walked for hours and hours and hours, one mountaintop to another, across the Andes, and here is this aqueduct that is carved into solid granite, absolutely perfect corners, perfect in every detail, and it moves through the Andes from one mountain to the other to transport water. It doesn't work now, there's no water in it, but in some places, you know, where some areas have backfilled, I suppose, and dirt's blocking water in and such, because it's in poor condition at this time. But the higher we got into the mountains, the more detailed it was. And to have constructed something to move water across the Andes, and then when they would run into a mountain, they didn't go around the mountain, they went through the mountain, and a distance of well over a mile, perhaps two, a straight shot through the mountain at exactly the right elevation so the water would continue flowing exactly as it needed to as it was making its way down the mountain, not too fast, not too slow. This is just the most incredible thing that I think I've seen in a long time. The detail and care taken to create this is mind-boggling. We didn't follow it back to where it starts from because it goes for miles and miles and miles. But we do plan to. We're going to go back and spend a couple months in Cajamarca, and we're going to follow through and get to the origin of where this canal actually begins. And that's just one of the really strange things that's in this area.
All right, now what? How far back is this thing dated?
Well, it's impossible to date because it's in solid rock. There is no wear on these stones, but of course it's granite. They're absolutely, like I said, perfect in every detail. There's no chips or scoring or anything. It's just completely smooth, just like your kitchen tabletop. So dating it, I don't know how a person could date it. And one of the real mysteries is that it goes, at one point, we know for sure, it goes right through a mountain, through a mountain. I mean, these are big mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes right through the mountain in an absolutely straight line with no variation. And you don't hear about that from the archaeologists because that's something that cannot be explained. There's no explanation for this whatsoever.
Well, Jerry, the tools that we are shown used by every one of the South American cultures, ancient cultures, whether we're talking about the Inca, the Aztec, the Olmec, the Mayan, the Toltec, whoever we're talking about, these tools that these people used, as ingenious and smart as these people were primitive tools. They didn't have, as far as I know, look, you may not know this, one of my majors in college was ancient history. As far as I know, and as far as the ancient history books say, they did not have the tools to be able to do what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. That's the common held belief. But I'm telling you, I've got video to show you, and you'll see it. And this is as well worked, probably better worked, than anything that we have available today to do the job.
Well, yeah, I don't doubt that these things exist. What I'm wondering, though, Jerry, since they can't be dated and they apparently predate all of the cultures I've just mentioned, what I'm wondering is this evidence of either, one, a previous civilization, ancient civilization, on this planet that was very high-tech that disappeared. And there's a lot of evidence that that could be the case all around the world, that there was at one point very high-tech civilization on the planet and it got wiped out. Or are these ruins the remains of something that was done by extraterrestrial visitors? How do you run with that? Which direction do you go? Or do you say, no, it was one of the ancient civilizations of South America?
Well, the people that we spoke to said that this was done by the gods, by the ancients. So we don't know what that means. It could have been that there were extraterrestrials who did this, because there certainly is a lot of extraterrestrial activity down here even now, as far as UFO sightings and close encounter contacts and so forth. There's a lot of it. Kathy and I have discussed this at great length, and we kind of lean towards the concept that the Earth was inhabited by highly sophisticated, highly evolved beings thousands of years ago. And if you take a look at our video of Tiwanaku, the City of the Gods, perhaps they were extraterrestrials, but whatever they were extraordinarily highly advanced for what they did. And this area of Peru is as old, if not older, than that area is. So consequently, you know, the reality is we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We keep looking for evidence one way or the other. And we're not partial to extraterrestrial contact, and we're not partial to really any particular thought. We're open to whatever it is we find. But when you take a look at this stuff, the only thing you can come up with is that whoever did this had a lot more going for them technologically than we have right now, because the skill and the ability to do what they did is not like anything that I've ever seen on Earth except at these ancient sites.
Jerry, last night on the show, I shared with folks some photographs from Venus. And these are, in my opinion, it's some of the clearest photographs that I've ever seen from another planet showing artificial structures. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you look at the photos, debate's over. The debate over, you know, are these artificial? That's finished as soon as you look at the photos. But the question then, of course, is who built it and when? Now, some of these, Jerry, they looked like they were in ruins, and they were massive. The thought comes to me that if they can do that on Venus, why couldn't this same bunch of folks escape from the calamity on Venus, get here to Earth, and do some of that here? We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking with Jerry Wills. He's talking with us live from Peru, where he's wrapping up his expedition down there, and just sharing with us about some of the things that he ran into. Jerry, before we took that break, I was talking about these massive structures that look like they run for miles and miles and miles on Venus, and quite clearly constructed. Your eye can't even make up a way for that to be geology. And so you look at that, and you know, some of these look like they are bombed out. Some of them look like they're destroyed. And so the thought just came to me, well, you know, if these guys could actually build all that stuff on Venus, whoever they are, if they could build all that stuff on Venus, what's the possibility then that whatever destroyed all this stuff, when that happened, the possibility that they or someone like them came to Earth and built a lot of this stuff we're looking at, that you're looking at in Peru and other places. Do you think that's outlandish, or is that even is that possible at all?
No, I think it's quite possible. I don't think it's outlandish. You know, the thing is, part of what Kathy and I are looking for and trying to document is evidence of other planetary or extraterrestrial otherwise influence on the cultures here. We feel that that happened, and there's got to be some record left of it, and the records that we're looking for may not even seem familiar to us when we see them. So we document everything we can and present it to everyone at Expeditions TV, and we do it at no cost, so everyone has a chance to see it, and if they see something that they think may be that smoking gun, then they can tell us about it or conduct their own research and further investigate it themselves. I think that there were people beyond Mars as well as possibly Venus. And from what you were saying, I haven't seen the pictures yet. But I do believe that what you're talking about exists there, because I've heard other stories. And you're right. If some calamity hit that planet, why wouldn't they come here? This is a really good place to jump to. It's not that far in cosmic terms. And with them, they would have brought the technology that they needed in order to sustain themselves. And that made what we're looking at with these odd hieroglyphs that's never been decoded. And one thing that comes to mind, Kevin, is that inside of a cave at Cumbamayo, there is a large circular, I would say it's perfectly circular, smoothed off stone that comprises the entire floor of this hollowed out area that is now a cave. This cave is not natural. And on the floor are all kinds of hieroglyphs, and there are points. Now, if you were to extrapolate, perhaps, that these circular points that are indentations would be planets in an orbit around the sun, then you might be able to take a further look at this and say that there's something there as a remembrance of who made this. And that's one of the pieces of evidence that once we get back, we're going to be studying pretty closely.
Did you by any chance get a picture of that?
Oh, absolutely. We have several pictures of it from different angles, so we have a real good composite.
Outstanding. Well, I know that everyone would like to hear about the doorway at Aramaru.
Yeah.
Did you guys get to go to the doorway during this expedition?
Well, Mark Felder and Ray Stevenson were with us in Peoria, and they wanted to go down there and check that out further. So after Peoria, we split up. They went down there, and Kathy and I continued on to Cajamarca. So you'll be hearing from Mark and Ray about this soon, I'm sure as soon as, well, Ray's already back. He may be listening tonight. Mark, he's still down there. He leaves there tomorrow afternoon, and he's coming back here to Lima, and I think he's going to be staying here with us overnight, and he leaves the next day for the States. But you'll be hearing from them. They did have some rather interesting things happen, but I think it would be best if they related it to you better than if I did, because they're the ones who lived it.
Okay, outstanding. All right, so after you left Cajamarca, did you go anyplace else, or did that consume most of your time?
Cajamarca consumed the rest of our time, but there was a couple of other things that happened, Kevin, that were pretty astonishing as well.
Well, let's hear about these astonishing things.
Yeah. Kathy and I took a wrong turn. We went looking for something, couldn't find it. We're way the heck back in the mountains, and it's clouds are rolling over the mountains. You'd have to see it to understand, but it's like the clouds are right there, and if you reached up, you would touch them rolling over the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
We're that high. We're 12,000 feet. The sun is setting, and we stopped and we filmed a public service announcement for the Kevin Smith Show, like we do every time we go on an expedition. And the reason we stopped in this particular place is because the top of this one mountain, directly behind me, and you'll have a chance to see this eventually, it is the top of a mountain that reaches up to a little over 13,000 feet. It's quite large, and it is a step pyramid. So, excuse me.
13,000 feet, and it's a step pyramid?
The top of a mountain has been made into a step pyramid of gigantic proportions.
Okay, all right, so the whole mountain is not a pyramid, but up at the top of the mountain, it's been turned into a step pyramid.
Exactly.
Okay.
It was raining off and on, the wind was blowing like you wouldn't believe, and it was cold and getting towards the end of the day, and we had to drive off this for the next couple hours to get back into Cajamarca, so we didn't have a chance to go there and investigate it any more than just to look at it and go, holy mackerel, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Step pyramid. And we validated that it is a step pyramid once we got off the mountain and started speaking to, that fellow I told you about. It's like Hawass. He's in Cajamarca. So, yeah, it is a step pyramid. And it's another thing for us to check out. But what was astonishing was after I finished, and we had the camera still rolling, I'm walking along this slightly uneven, yet rather, flat area in between mountaintops. I'm walking towards the step pyramid, and the sky is that magic color of orangish red and purple all mixed together. I look off to my left, and there is a 20-foot by 6-foot rectangle in the ground carved right into solid stone. And it goes down about 40 feet. So I'm thinking, what in the world is this? So I walk a little further, and I can see now that there is an arched doorway at either end of this rectangle. So I notice it's going in a straight line. I keep walking and walking, and finally I get to a place to where the hillside has shaved down, and this thing just sort of pops out of the hillside. So I go down there and decide to walk into it. It went right through the mountain, Kevin, into solid stone, and it was about every 40 feet there was another 10 by 20, roughly, rectangular skylight, if you will, that was right up through solid rock. And how
far does this go back into the mountain?
Well, it went back about a quarter mile.
And what's in there? Is it just a straight tunnel, or are there some rooms? Or
no, just a straight tunnel.
Any idea what its purpose would have been?
I haven't a clue. I just don't know. It may have been part of the ancient aqueduct system, for all I know. I don't have a clue.
How tall is this tunnel? Were you able to walk in without bending over?
It was at least 8 foot.
Uh-huh.
And probably a good 4 or 4.5 foot wide. I could walk without... I mean, as wide as I am, I'm almost 7 foot tall. It was at least another 1.5, 2 foot above me, and it was at least 4 foot, maybe 5 foot wide. And just like, how can I describe this? It was solid granite, and you walk just straight through, straight through the mountain with skylights.
And now what happens when you get to the end of the tunnel? Or does it just dead end, or is there a door on the other side of the mountain?
There's a entry or exit point, depending on your perspective, but it's at the other end of the mountain. It opens up into a doorway, and you walk out on the other side of the mountain.
And did you discuss this with the archaeology guy down there? Did you ask him about it, and did he know anything about it?
Yes, we did, and they had no idea it existed.
So you found something for them they did not know existed.
Yeah, exactly. And we found it by accident. We were taping a PSA for you.
You see, good things happen when you do good things for the Kevin Smith Show.
That's right. That's why you should be a member today.
That's right. You were just walking through tunnels inside of mountains in the Andes, and it just occurred to you that maybe someone is not a member.
Yeah, and I just couldn't make heads or tails of why they wouldn't be a member. I couldn't figure it out. So I went on through the tunnel.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, I'm anxious to see, not just because it's a PSA, but I'm anxious to see that tunnel. You got that on video, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have some good night vision equipment now, so we took it right into the tunnel and lit it up.
Outstanding. Now, were there any hieroglyphs or anything like that in there?
No, nothing at all. It was just a straight shot in an absolutely straight line from one end of the mountain to the other.
Wow. Jerry, you know, we have, when I say we, I mean in the West. I don't know how it's done elsewhere, but in Western countries, we've been spoon-fed that Egypt is the cradle of civilization. What you're describing, and these things going back so many thousands of years, indicates to me that Egypt, while it may be a cradle of civilization, is not the cradle of civilization. And there is something comparable and maybe even that exceeds what you find in Egypt, and it's located in South America. Now, let me ask you this question, and you may have an answer for this, you may not, but South America is big. It's a big continent.
Yeah.
A lot of countries there. You've done a lot of exploration in Peru. You've done a lot of exploration. I think you've been across into Bolivia and maybe Ecuador. What about Chile, Argentina? Are you going to do any expeditions to those places?
Yeah, we do have plans to do that. It seems that whenever we get to Peru, because we know the people so well and we have good contacts here, that we just eat up all of our time being here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what we've found so far, and this may not be accurate, but this is how it seems, is that the further north we go in South America, the older the cultures seem to be, the more evidence of advanced ancient cultures. And of course, the caveat to that, of course, is going to be Tiwanaku, and there may be other places like Tiwanaku we're not familiar with in some of these other areas. We know there's something in Paraguay we want to go check out, and we know there's a place in Argentina as well as Chile. And, of course, you know, Bolivia, we just only scratched the surface, Tiwanaku. But what we're finding so far is it seems to us that the majority of the really ancient sites seem to be in the northern part of South America. And that begs the question, why? And the only thing that I can come up with is that if the Earth were unstable at some point in time, and these people did come here, and whatever made their planets unstable may have made the Earth unstable as well, the most reasonable place to be would be nearest to the equator, so that at least there wouldn't be a sudden plunge into an ice age or extraordinarily unfavorable weather in more remote latitudes. That's just a guess.
Well, it does make sense. Jerry, let's go to the telephone lines. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi Kevin, this is Ryan in Washington State. How you doing?
Good, Ryan.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Ryan, thanks for calling in.
It's always interesting when you're on the show. I always enjoy it. Yeah, maybe these things are located on the equator because it provides a perfect jumping spot for launching something into the air. Like the rotation of the Earth provides a good spot for things to on other planets such as Mars and stuff. There's a lot of things on the equator, but my question was, What do you think the whole purpose of the lines are, the NASCA lines are? Clearly they must have had some sort of way to get into the air to create those. I'm sure you've gone over this before, but I wonder what the whole purpose of them are.
Well, it's obvious to us the purpose is for art. If you take a look back at some of the things that have surfaced in the past 3 years, you have the holes of Chen Kyo. If you take a look at Secrets of the Sand, you'll be able to see that our video, Secrets of the Sand, you'll see this. There are the holes of Chen Kyo, which point absolutely north pole to south pole. And then you have the lines at Palpa, which are much older than Nazca, by the way, and they have all kinds of strange little symbols and pointing this way and that way. But you're right, the only way that these things could be seen is from the air. There is no earthly reason, none at all, that they would be made without being seen from high above. They have such absolute perfect geometry that there's no way it could be done haphazardly, because if you consider that the terrain in Nazca, although the surface of the Earth in Nazca is like a desert, it's still uneven, hills and dips and so forth. And from the air, you don't see this, you just see an absolutely perfect depiction of an image. The same with Palpa, the Palpa lines. The same with the holes of Tumai. So, to have done this just for the sake of doing it in one of the driest places on Earth, a place that even though I live in Arizona, I couldn't stand being out there on that desert much more than an hour because it was burning me up. There is no water, there is no food, there's nothing. It's just a huge, vast, baked plain. And to have made something like this just for the sake of doing it, I don't think so.
So you don't think it's just art?
Well, I think the part of it is art. I think other parts of it serve some other logistics purpose, but I don't know what it was.
Uh-huh. All right.
Because well, I'd say we get everybody... I think it would be a great idea to get everybody in Kevin's audience, all our regular listeners, like Terry and Mike and Bob and Kevin, and there's people I'm forgetting. Let's all get on a plane and go on vacation and go down there and check it out in ourselves. It's probably the only way you're going to really get the real feeling of it is to be there in person. I'll be up for it. I don't know, we might have to save up some money to do it. But anyways, Jerry, I always enjoy your shows. It's so educational. And I'll just let some of the other callers call in.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. And incidentally, Ryan, we did offer a trip this year. Secrets of the Sand, and not one person expressed any interest in it at all. But we were going to take them and show them these things so they'd have a chance to see it for themselves.
So, the next time it comes around, respond. The telephone number, if you are interested in talking with Jerry, you have a comment or a question, is 623-444-5889. Or toll free at 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada, you may use our flash message feature, and you do that by just clicking on the link on my website that says flash message. Or if you don't mind paying for the international long distance call, our telephone numbers will work. You can call us from anywhere in the world. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, Jerry, it's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
A very interesting show. I enjoyed. You know, I paid attention to when you were offering that trip, Jerry, but there just wasn't any way I could go at this time.
Well, I know, and sometimes that's how it works out. It's not cheap to come down here and do this.
No, I realize that, and I looked at my budget, and it just didn't allow me to do it at this time. Of course, you would have gotten tired of me real quick having to pack me up and down those mountains.
We've been packing each other.
You know, there's a lot of stories about South America and Mexico, Central America and all there, about, as you were talking about, all the gold and how the Aztecs had llama trains going when they had Montezuma prisoner, and then when they killed Montezuma, all those llama trains just totally disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah, into the tunnel system.
Guys, we're about 30 seconds away or less from break. Mike, you want to hang on through the break?
Well, let me get off, Kevin, and let others. I just wanted to call in and say I'm enjoying the show, and I wish I could have gone, but it just didn't work out.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks.
All right, we will begin taking calls again right after we come back from this break that's taking over right now. We'll be back, folks. Don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Jerry Wills, who is well known to our audience and well known around the world as an explorer, among many other things. He is speaking to us live from Peru. And Jerry, just as we went to break, Mike had said something about these llama trains carrying all this gold, and then they just disappeared. You said into the tunnels. Does anybody know where all that gold went?
No, no one has ever found it. There were, the actual story is that when Atahualpa was being held by Pizarro, in Cajamarca, the Spanish kept saying, fill these rooms with gold, fill these rooms with silver and so forth, and they did it over and over again. And, finally, they beheaded Atahualpa in front of all of these people, and Atahualpa was like a living god to them. Well, meanwhile, his wife, or one of his wives, because they practiced polygamy as I understand it, she was coming across the Andes with 1,000 llamas laden with gold, bringing it as ransom for Atahualpa's release. Because he kept being promised he'd be let free if he would do this again, and then again, and then again. Well, I don't know if she was late or what the real story is, but basically she...
Word got to her
that he had been beheaded, and so they opened the tunnels, they unloaded the llamas into the tunnels, slapped them on the butt, and sent them off into the Andes, and that's the last that anyone ever saw of the gold.
Well, I would suspect that there have been many, many searches for that gold, and they will probably continue. Let's go to the telephone line, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Good evening, gentlemen. It's Kevin from Alberta calling tonight.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
How are you?
Good.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey.
Listen, if you ever find out where that gold is, I'm going with you, okay?
Hey, I'll tell you what. Our son Bryce just called while we were in break. He's been he's staying in Cajamarca, continuing the investigation, taking some pictures. When we get him, it'll be amazing because he's found a cave that's full of skeletons with gold plates in their heads and gold teeth and gold all over the place.
Good God. Listen, I tuned in late. Interesting program. Did you get to investigate the other cave that was discovered with that drawing in it down by the coast?
No, we didn't. It was filled in by the time we got there.
Oh, shucks.
Yep, I know.
So it's completely inaccessible anymore at all?
Well, as far as we know, of course, it could be that the folks there just didn't want us to get into it as well. We don't know what the truth is. It was quite a twisted effort, true, because it's an awful lot of money, and it took up too much time. And in hindsight, I wish we'd have just forgotten it and gone directly on to the Cajamarca area because there was so much there.
Yeah, okay. How much longer are you going to be in Peru for?
We leave on Monday afternoon. We'll be back in Phoenix sometime Tuesday.
Okay, and then are you going to give us an update on the Kevin Smith Show coming up pretty soon?
Well, we're going to get back and begin editing this footage that we have and get it online as quickly as possible. And that will be the update so everyone can see it. For other information and for pictures, are you on our mailing list?
Yes, I am. So, yeah, Expeditions?
Yeah, well, we've been posting to Spot Adventures. Look for Expeditions TV at spotadventures.com. We've been posting GPS coordinates and our tracks and our path, all this, plus pictures and a narrative of our journey for that particular day. And you can go to spotadventures.com and you can read about it and see the pictures that we took.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jerry.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number if you have a question or comment. Or if you need to call us on the toll-free line, 888-223-4599. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Avi from New Jersey.
Hello, Avi.
Hi.
Hey, Avi. You
hey.
Made it back safe and sound.
Yes, I did. I'm just calling because, interesting what you're talking about tonight. And, you know, I'm pretty tired still. I was actually down at the doorway, and we met up with Mark, actually, me and Jason. Lucky enough to go down
yeah.
there.
Yeah. And you guys had quite the adventure, as I understand it.
It was pretty neat. It was really neat. Just calling, saying hi, I guess.
All right. Avi, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, Avi went down to the doorway, and I think you said Mark Felder and Ray, what's Ray's last name?
Stevenson and Jason Caldwell.
Yeah. And so they have some tales to tell about the doorway that you've talked about here on this show and that people have seen in the spots that you've done here on the show. All right, caller, you are... I'm sorry, Jerry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kevin. I was just saying yes.
Yeah, all right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi. I didn't catch the whole show, so forgive me, Jerry. I was wondering...
Oh, you need to turn down your radio in the background. We can hear you on delay back there.
Just a second here.
Yeah, when you call in, make sure you turn your volume down, folks, because it is on delay.
Slight, accidentally.
All right.
You're on that expedition where you're taking the people to the gate right now?
Well, no. We were on the expedition to northern Peru. There were two guys, Avi Fine and Jason Caldwell, who went down to the doorway, and they met us there with Ray Stevenson and Mark Felder.
I was wondering, you're offering that trip, if you took anyone there, if they wanted to try to go through the gate, would you show them how to do it, or when you want that responsibility?
No, I offered, I gave the information, everything that I know, to Avi and Jason. And previously, when Mark Felder and Ray Stevenson went down, I gave them the information as well. I give it to the people who go, because there's no reason to go if you don't have it, of course. And
any
also,
of them successful?
Well, you'll have to talk to them about it. I have yet to get a full disclosure from what their experiences are. I know they've had some experiences, though.
Yeah. Also, on that last caller, was he talking about that tunnel that your son found that goes underneath the water over to the island that got covered under that you were talking about once upon a time checking out?
Right. We went down to check that out, and when we got there, the church was under restoration, and they had backfilled that entire area with about 20 feet of dirt and sand, completely covering up everything.
That's a shame. But you know some caves that's actually still got gold in it and stuff?
Well, I don't know it personally, but we received word from our son that he's been in a cave that does, and there's more than one.
Now, Jerry, is he getting photographs of this?
Yeah, he is. He just got back to Cajamarca this evening. So as soon as he can get to an internet cafe and get the pictures loaded up to us, then we'll have them, and we'll have those for folks to see as soon as we get it to where we can.
Outstanding.
Do you know of any origin of what they are?
No, that's the strange thing about it. We have been trying to figure out who these people might have been. Of course, the skeletons and so forth, it has trepanning, which is putting the gold plates in the head, and it has, gold teeth. I mean, these things are very common with the Inca Empire and with the Chichibueya Empire and so forth, Sachin and Chavin and all those guys. They were doing this sort of thing. So because there's gold used anatomically, it's not a big surprise, and it's not a big mystery. This stuff was done, and we know it was. The curious thing about trepanning is, why would they cut out part of the skull and put gold in its place? Because they had copper, they had silver, why gold? Well, it's real simple. Gold is the one thing they could have used that the body would not reject.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, Terry, I want to thank you for your call. Very interesting questions. Very interesting. 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. If you live outside the USA, you live outside of Canada, you can use those numbers. They'll work, but they're not toll-free. But they work from anywhere in the world. Or you can go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com and click where it says flash message. All right. And then just a reminder, there's no way for you to subscribe to the K-Files e-zine until Monday. All right, so if you've been thinking you were going to do it and you've been praying about this and asking for God's guidance, too late. You have to wait till Monday. All right. Jerry, this cave that Bryce has located, is it, how far is it outside of Cajamarca? Is it very close or is it pretty extremely far from it?
It's pretty extreme. Kevin, Kathy, and I rented a 4x4 diesel truck and drove for hours to get back to the embarkation point that Bryce took off from. He walked, he said, across 10 mountains to get to this place.
How old is he, Jerry?
How old is Bryce, Pat?
24.
He's 24.
Well, a young guy like that, it's still a long ways, but a young guy like that can do that sort of thing a lot easier than an old guy like me, I tell you.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kevin. Kathy and I were walking for like 5 hours, one mountaintop to another, up and down. I was carrying a 40-pound pack. Osprey is one of our sponsors, and they supplied Kathy and I with these extraordinary backpacks. So, I mean, it wasn't like it was cutting into our shoulders, but still, going up and down when you're 12,000 feet, up and down, up the mountain, it wears you out. And Bryce was carrying the video equipment, and he was doing a lot better than we were. And you know, it's awfully hard to smoke at 12,000 feet, Kevin.
Well, you need to quit.
Well, that's
really all right, Jerry, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach. We have time for maybe one more call. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. My guest is Jerry Wills, and he is speaking to us from Lima, Peru. Jerry, this I'm very curious about this cave that Bryce found. Did he tell you anything about the dimensions, how big it was?
No, he didn't tell us a lot about it. He just said that it was quite large, that it was in a really hard-to-reach area. So I don't have a lot of details just yet. But if I could just take a moment, Kevin, before we get to the close of the show,
I'd like to
thank everyone who made a donation at Expeditions TV to help make this expedition possible, and to let everyone know that you know, whenever we do get donations, that we use those donations for these expeditions. And for the people who donated, their names are all going to be put at the end of both of these two episodes coming up, not just the one as we had promised. And it's our way of saying thank you for supporting the work that we're doing, because this is a real expensive thing to do.
Well, I would imagine that it would be. And it's a risky thing to do as well.
What's that?
It's risky as well. You know, there are things in those jungles you guys hike through that can eat you.
Yeah, that's true. And climbing around the side of mountains with rocks the size of a Volkswagen, sometimes careening down, these are the things you don't hear about. But these are sometimes the things that happen. Or being stuck on the side of a mountain in a four-wheel drive that the clutch and every time you try to take off, it dies, and you slide a little further towards the edge of the cliff. There are things that happen during these expeditions that are pretty frightening, but that's the only way that you can find the answers is by going to the places that aren't easy to get to and doing the things that aren't the normal things to do.
Okay, now, Jerry, last night on the show, as I told you, I showed folks amazing photographs from Venus. If NASA announced that there was going to be an archaeological mission to Venus, and they were going to take some, quote, civilians, and they offered you a spot, would you do that?
As long as I can take my camera and they don't have any say in what I release.
What do you think, Kathy would say about that? Would she go?
Kathy's right here. Would you go?
Where?
Venus, to document the archaeological sites there.
I didn't think so.
As long as it's a better ride than a regular airplane.
Yeah, she said, sure, as long as it's a regular a better ride than a regular airplane.
I understand takeoff is pretty rough. Lots of vibration on the takeoff. But who knows? You know, one of these days, Jerry, one of these days, you and I may not live to see it, but one of these days, there are going to be archaeological missions to Mars, maybe to Venus. Venus would be tough for us because of the pressure at the surface and because of the heat. But obviously someone lives there, and you know, maybe the conditions were different then. I don't know. But there will be archaeological missions to Mars, I am certain, because I am absolutely sure when they get there, they're going to confirm that a lot of this stuff they have been poo-pooing is actually real structures that have been left there.
I agree.
All right, you're going back to Cajamarca on your next expedition, is that right?
Right. We're going to go back there. Probably need to stay there for a month or two to adequately cover what we've already seen. And there's so much more that we haven't seen.
Have you heard of other things in that area that you just didn't have time to explore? Or are you just sort of guesstimating that there's more?
No, we've heard and we've seen other people's pictures and descriptions from reputable folks who don't have any reason to tell us anything but what they've seen. We know that there's some stuff there. It's amazing. I want to get back and check out that step pyramid at the top of a mountain.
Now, the archaeologist guy, he already knew about the pyramid. What did he say about it?
Nothing except, yep, that's a step pyramid. We don't know who did it.
And it's at the top of the mountain, 13,000 feet high.
Yeah, you'll see pictures because it's on your PSA. And it's the top of a mountain. You know, I mean, the whole top of the mountain, it's a step pyramid. It goes right up to the very top of the mountain. I don't know what's up there, but I got to go find out.
Do you have any idea, were you able to zoom in with your lens and see, is it constructed of blocks or is it cut into the rock?
It's cut into the rock from what I could see. You know, keep in mind that we've got heavy winds and clouds that are blowing across, spitting rain and as cold as a dickens. But, you know, it's worn. It's not absolutely sharp, angular, la-da-da-da-da. It has wear to it because it's the top of a mountain in a rather volatile area weather-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But it's absolutely completely obvious.
Well, it would be a good place for an observatory. I don't know that that's what it is, but that would be a good place for an observatory, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be. And if you're a fan of Stargate, it could be a great place to land a great big ship and just, you know, clink it right into place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to expect. I mean, after the stuff we've seen there so far, I don't know what to expect. But I got to get to the top, and everywhere in between, because I want to know what is this and what's there.
Well, now, you found this by accident by taking a wrong turn. Do you think you can find your way back to it?
Oh, absolutely. I have it marked with two different GPS units and Spot Adventures. It's right there. If you use Earth with Spot Adventures, you can follow our tracks on that particular day. You'll see the pictures that are at Spot Adventures.
Okay, so that won't be a problem. When do you think we'll get to see some of these photographs that Bryce is taking?
Well, I don't know. I'm hoping he's going to get that sent to us this weekend. You know, the really big issue here is bandwidth for the Internet. Mm-hmm. We happen to be in a place where there's adequate bandwidth because our friend Peter Schneider has Top Latino, which is a really big deal here in South America. It's like the top 10 used to be with Casey Kasem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Peter has Top Latino, which is all the different countries, and they're their top songs. So he operates it here from his home, and he has a really good connection. But in these outlying areas, you have very slow connections, and getting it's a little bit, it's about, I don't know, it's dial up or not as good as that.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, I want to thank you for being with us this evening, and I appreciate you giving us your time. I know this is your final weekend in Peru, and you probably, you know, would like to either relax or go out and eat or do something, but you gave us time for the show, and I appreciate it very much. We look forward to seeing you back here in Phoenix Monday or Tuesday. Well, not Monday, but probably Tuesday. You
yeah,
should
we'll
be back here.
We'll be back on Tuesday. As soon as I have some raw footage, I'll invite you over, Kevin. You can take a look at it.
Outstanding. I appreciate it. Stay on the line with me just a moment, if you will.
All right.
All right. Okay, folks, that's it. That's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We had fewer problems tonight. Had a few, but fewer. And we'll have fewer next week because this weekend I'm going to exorcise my equipment and my sight, and we'll be off the porch and running with the big dogs. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.